Everybody, welcome to the Portland City Council. Before we begin the official proceedings, I have a couple of things to do. First, you may have noticed the gentleman and a few ladies in the back. They are here today from different university leaders from China. They include presidents, vice presidents, directors, and I think perhaps one of them is a poet. They come from the province of Jilin, meaning auspicious forest, which is located in the northeastern corner of China. They're here in Portland for 2 weeks as guests of Portland State University to learn how higher education is organized and funded in Oregon and in the U.S. Today they came to City Council to learn about our city government, so we're very pleased to welcome them. Could you all please stand and we can recognize you? The second is the reading. Today, December 10th, is the 60th anniversary to the date of the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And it's a very special day throughout the world, and I have a proclamation to read in that regard. And then I'd like to ask Donetta Fry and Dr. Frankel to come forward. This is the proclamation. We, the residents of the City of Portland, recognize that the diversity of our population is vital to the cultural and economic character of our city. The City Code states that the City of Portland is committed to improving the lives of all of its residents and strives to eliminate all forms of discrimination because such discrimination poses a threat to the health, safety, and welfare of our community. The City of Portland reaffirmed its commitment to human rights in March 2008 by establishing a Human Rights Commission whose work is guided by the UN Declaration of Human Rights. On December 10, 1948, the United Nations adopted the UN Declaration of Human Rights, a document that continues to be a source of inspiration for local and worldwide efforts to promote and protect human rights and fundamental freedoms. Whereas an essential element of the protection of human rights is the widespread knowledge and understanding amongst people of what their rights are and how they can be defended. And 2009 shall be celebrated in Portland and Multnomah County as the Year of International Human Rights Learning with the theme Dignity and Justice for All. And today we pay tribute to the extraordinary vision of the Declaration's authors and to the many human rights defenders around the world who struggle to make their vision a reality. Now, therefore, I, Tom Potter, Mayor of the City of Portland, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim December 10, 2008, to be Human Rights Day in Portland and encourage all people to observe this day. Donetta and Dr. Frankel, would you come forward? Thank you for being here today.
Good morning, council members. So we're not feeling very well this morning, and wanted to come and honor the contribution of this proclamation to the city. As a member of a federally recognized tribe, I am aware of each nation's unique heritage and celebrate the fact that we are all equally different. Historical trauma and oppression is part of our ancestry. I have developed a view from this fact of life that there is an investment required for every individual who seeks to create a better community to recognize injustice, identify origin of prejudice, and work to prevent it. Making a conscious acknowledgement through this proclamation shows action and shares heart in addressing these concerns. People helping people of all abilities will move us towards a future that does not compromise the prospects of our children and elders. I thank you for recommissioning the Human Rights Commission and bringing the Human Rights Department to our city. Weeks away from the dawn of a new era, this is a step in the process of mutual understanding and deepening respect of our communities and our inherent rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Donetta.
Mayor Potter, Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish, and guests of the City Council. Forgive my back, I'll face toward the commissioners, but my comments are directed to all of us.
And you'll tell us your name, too.
I'm Dr. Herman Frankel. I've had the privilege, with my wife Ruth, of living in Portland since 1965. Portland Mayor Tom Potter's proclamation of December 10th, 2008, as Human Rights Day in Portland, identifies 2009 as the Year of International Human Rights Learning with the theme Dignity and Justice for All. Today's formal proclamation by the mayor provides us with an opportunity to honor him for his courage and actions during the past 4 years and to express public support for his values and accomplishments. The mayor's Vision PDX program engaged 17,000 people in the process of expressing their values and shaping a vision for Portland's future, and led to the Vision into Action Coalition, a broad community-led alliance of organizations, businesses, government, and individuals acting collectively to ensure implementation of Portland's community vision. Mayor Potter has been a tireless defender of the dignity and rights of all people who live, work, study, travel, or worship in Portland. For example, he refused to allow Portland police personnel to join the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force because federal officials would not allow him to be fully informed about their activities as task force members. He has been tireless in facilitating the self-empowerment and defending the rights of all Portlanders, regardless of skin color, immigrant or refugee status, housing status, sexual orientation, income, religion, age, and disability. He was the guiding force behind the development of the Children's Bill of Rights. Indeed, he began the tradition of beginning city council meetings by asking, "How are the children?" He initiated and supported the process that led to the creation of Portland's new Human Rights Commission within the Office of Human Relations that builds on the work of the former Racial Profiling Committee and the Immigrant and Refugee Task Force. Mayor Potter's actions have been daily manifestations of the stated commitment of his office, bringing us together. Thanks, Mayor Potter.
Thank you. I really wasn't aware they were going to do that, so. The City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Potter?
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to the City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication. First three, I guess.
1680, request of Don Bach to address Council regarding planning in Maricara and Marshall Parks. 1681, request of Glenn Bridger to address Council regarding planning in Maricara and Marshall Parks. And 1682, request of Keith Lydon to address Council regarding planning in Maricara and Marshall Parks.
Please come forward, folks. Because of this unique presentation, they've requested to have each of their 3 minutes compiled into a total of 9. And because Don Bach is such a tireless worker and Glenn and these other folks have done such a great job, I've made an exception to the rule for them today. So, Don, please proceed.
Thank you very much, Mayor Potter, City Council. We're here, three of us, to talk about the planning process that was used on Maricara Park. We're going to focus just on Maricara. And we're going to tell you why we think that the process needs to be redirected back to Parks to reconsider their plan and to address their document distribution policy as well. We'll start with Glenn Bridger, and followed by Keith Lydon, and then I'll follow. Glenn.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners, and certainly a welcome to the leaders from China. My name is Glenn Bridger. I live in Southwest Vincent Place. I'd like to call your attention to a map I placed on each commissioner's table. Maricara Park is not one of the better-known parks within our city, but it is a truly delightful natural area park located in southwest Portland. As you look on it, you'll see it circled on your maps with a dotted line around it. It is located between southwest 25th and approximately southwest 30th, and approximately a mile south of the I-5 Barber Corridor. Located only 5 blocks to the west of this park is Jackson Middle School, one of the important schools in our community. Like so much of southwest Portland, there is no network of streets crisscrossing our neighborhoods. That means there are limited places for...
We got the streets, you mean sidewalks.
Sidewalks. Well, there aren't even streets in this area.
Okay. It's even worse.
They're not the streets, they're not the sidewalks, they're not the bike paths. This is a super block that sits in the midst of an area, and it is appropriate for natural park, but we want it to be more friendly to the community. I mean, each of us knows that when we look at southwest Portland, there is no community that's a part of southwest Portland called Flatsdale. Instead, we have communities called Hillsdale because the topography is rough, it goes up and down, and we build our streets and paths to go along with that area. Looking at this, you say, should a natural park have bike paths? Well, we have worked with the parks in the past to have a bike path planned as part of the George Himes Park, and that has been a part of the planning for that natural park. In our world of public real estate that is very limited in its quantity, we need to build and plan our resources to fit the whole community. We need to have space in our parks for bike paths, just like we have space in our street right-of-way for swales and trees that make it a whole community. We need a whole community, and I ask that we help build this plan as a whole community.
Good morning. My name is Keith Lydon. I live in southwest Portland also, 4021 Southwest 36th Place. And just to build on what Glenn was talking about, while this work on Maricara Park was going on, Southwest Trails was also busy putting together what we've called a bicycle facilities strategy to reach platinum status in southwest Portland. Sort of a long title, but I think it explains what we're after, and you have a copy of that before you. So while we're taking a look at this area, this was not just sort of a casual observation. We combed the neighborhoods to take a look at how we could improve bicycle conditions in southwest, looking at all possible routes. And one of the things we did find in this area is that there really aren't any good east-west connections between Lancaster and 35th Jackson School. And so we did suggest to parks that a bicycle route through Maricara while they were doing this work would be a tremendous route to have. It would be a great, safe route to school. This idea was rejected, not really even evaluated, and we were told that, well, Huber, which is an east-west street to the north, would be fine. Huber, if you're not familiar with Huber, doesn't have a lot of traffic, but apparently it has enough to warrant a center stripe. It does have some sight distance problems, and it doesn't have a continuous shoulder along the way, so for middle school kids, I don't think that would be exactly an ideal route, but that's the best of the bunch. Also, when you get to the four-way stop at 35th, it's a busy four-way stop, and then there's still no bike connection or facility to get to the school. So really, we just felt that we provided some good information that we wished parks would have considered and think that it's really important when we have opportunities to spend some public money that we should, whenever possible, see if we can meet multiple objectives as opposed to just focus on one thing and maybe figure out ways that we can kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. Go ahead, Don.
Thank you. Well, we haven't got formal designation of the route through Maricara Park as a safe route to school because it hasn't been addressed as part of the safe route to school program for this particular school. It's falling off the log easy to determine that anyone that wants to get to Jackson High, Middle School would use this route for both pedestrian and bicycles. When Parks was talking about this, one of the things they said was, and I'm quoting, wink, wink, we don't have any bicycle police. We can simply let people ride the bikes there. Well, that, in my mind, is terribly inappropriate because we're building in conflicts from the get-go where people that are trying to obey the rules say we got to have bikes off this because there's no, it's not posted for bikes. And then if we do, in fact, have bikes there to accommodate kids, they're going to endure the wrath of people who think they shouldn't be there. Second thing is the entrances to the trail, if you're doing a pedestrian trail, they can be very steep and they can be perpendicular to the street and not endanger the people that are walking. But if you're on a bicycle coming down a steep connection to a street, you do not want to have a steep connection because they're going to stream right out into the street and they're going to be hit by cars occasionally. And we need to make sure that we plan the trails for bike access. The actual impact on the park is very minor in my opinion because we'll be using the same terrain basically that's been laid out with possibly a little different switchback at the end, widen the trail out a little bit, compact it with gravel, and it would also serve as an ADA trail, which if we put some parking would give us a good place. This is the most beautiful park when trilliums are blooming we have in Portland that I'm aware of. It has just really great wildflowers, and for that part of time of the year it's really important that we try to accommodate, I think, people to be able to see them. So we're asking the Portland City Council to ask Park to reconsider their plan and to include a bike trail and ADA access for this park. Final issue I want to talk about, I asked for copies of the report two times. It's in color, and it's important to have something like that to give to talk to our committee and others. Mm-hmm. I got back after the second request a one-page black and white cover page of the report. No distribution was allowed, apparently, by Parks policy. I think that's totally inappropriate. It needs to be changed. We need to have, you don't need to spread it to the wind, but, copies to key organizations that are working on things like this, Sweeney, the neighborhoods that are adjacent, should be have available. And if people are highly involved in something, they should also be able to receive copies. The color is important because it really communicates the information quite well. Now, I want to point out one other thing. Park said, we can use this right-of-way along the north side of the park, which there is a right-of-way there, 30 feet wide. The problem is, to a man, and all the people I talked to that live along there said, we don't want to have a trail there. Let's use a trail in the park. It takes out more open space that we'd otherwise have if we kept use the one trail rather than try to build two. Second, the bicycle trail would be expensive to build. We might take out some big trees because you'd have to, depending, I don't know that you'd have to, but you might have to. And the second thing is the terrain goes up and down, whereas the trail through the park follows the contours. And the site distances would be less. It wouldn't be an appropriate place to put it. And finally, it would be more expensive. And if we just spend a little bit more money on the trail in the park, we're going to end up with a facility that we can be proud of and be part of the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks. Read the next.
Item 1683, request of Lewis Washmuth to address council regarding parking fees. He called and is not able to make it.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Does any member of this audience wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Please read the 9:30 time, sir.
Item 1684, authorized settlement of claims with Northwest Natural Gas Company.
Commissioner Saltzman?
Thank you, Mayor and members of the council. After a lot of hard work, the city and Northwest Natural Gas have reached agreement on a modern franchise. And this is a considerable accomplishment. The franchise will establish terms and conditions for Northwest Natural's use of the streets within the city for transmitting and distributing gas. What's interesting is that the original legal relationship between the City of Portland and Northwest Natural has been unchanged since 1859. And in fact, in 1859, the territory of Oregon, that was, I guess, 6 weeks before we had a state, the territory of Oregon granted Henry D. Green, Northwest Natural's predecessor, the authority to operate a gas system in Portland. So under authority of this territorial grant to Mr. Green, Northwest Natural has operated within Portland for almost 150 years. In fact, their birthday's coming up in a week or so. So I'm pleased that the city and Northwest Natural have been able to develop a modern franchise agreement that helps the city and Northwest Natural better serve the citizens of our city. And I'm also pleased that the franchise reflects the city's energy policy and clearly delineates the rights and responsibilities of both parties. I want to thank Mark Dodson, Margaret Kirkpatrick, and Greg Cantor of Northwest Natural, and we'll have Mark up here in a second. But I also, at this point, wanted to bring up the office, cable office staff. And Ben, were you going to come up for this? Okay. Mary Beth Henry of the cable office will just give us some highlights, a brief description of the franchise. And then I'd like to have Mark Dodson, the president of Northwest Natural, also come up and say a few words.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. I'm Mary Beth Henry with the cable office. Mayor and commissioners, we're very pleased to have before you today a settlement agreement that both concludes an audit with a payment to the city of $350,000, but more importantly, updates a franchise relationship with Northwest Natural that stems from 1859. The settlement agreement represents over 2 years of hard work and was made possible by the dedication and creativity of many people, and I'd like to recognize some of those people today. From the City of Portland, Ben Walters, from PDOT, Christine Leone, Alex Bejarano, and Don Gardner, and from the Office of Sustainable Development, Michael Armstrong. From Northwest Natural, I'd like to thank Mark Dodson, Greg Cantor, Margaret Kirkpatrick, Sandy Hart, and Janice Fannensteel, and their outside counsel, Jeff Condit. As Commissioner Saltzman said, Northwest Natural has a franchise granted by the territorial government. This is a franchise from 1859. This, a bit more lengthy document, 20 pages, represents the modern franchise. I'm sure that you can appreciate in today's busy, crowded right-of-way, there are a few more rules and regulations and responsibilities that we might want to outline. Some of the challenging issues that we faced included relocation, addressing hazardous substances, indemnification, and placing above-ground facilities in the right-of-way. We were able to find common ground and bridge our differences on these and many other issues. This agreement represents a win for the city and our citizens, as well as Northwest Natural and its customers. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the commissioners? Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Beth. Now we'd like to have Mark Dodson, president of Northwest Natural, say a few words.
Good morning, everyone. My name is, as Commissioner Saltzman said, is Mark Dodson. I'm, for a few days until the end of this month, the CEO of Northwest Natural. With me this morning is our general counsel, Margaret Kirkpatrick. And sitting next to her is Greg Cantor, the president of the company, and he will become CEO of the company January 1. As Commissioner Saltzman indicated, Henry Green moved to Oregon, Portland, actually, in 1854, founded a corporation, one of the first corporations in Oregon. It was a corporation 6 weeks before Oregon became a state. We've operated under the territorial franchise. And we will be celebrating, all of you are invited to the celebration of our 150th anniversary on January 7th at the Art Museum. We're going to have a number of Oregon musicians celebrating the event. But as you can imagine, that's one of the firsts in the state of Oregon. But if you'll indulge an old man on his way out the door, let me brag about some of the other firsts, and I'll just highlight three that Northwest Natural is known for in the industry. We were actually the first gas utility in the nation to totally modernize our system, to completely replace the cast iron system. So we're one of the safest utilities in the nation right now. If we were to be introduced nationally or even internationally, people would recognize us as the first gas utility to be decoupled, meaning that we separated the revenue we make from the amount of gas that we are required to sell to make a profit. That's significant in our industry because it allows us to be leaders in the nation in terms of energy conservation. In fact, Commissioner Saltzman's presented us some awards over the years for energy conservation. And even in today's climate, even more important, we're very important, significant players in the discussion on climate change. All of that's because of that first decoupling move. But the third one is the one that's probably nearest and dearest to my heart, and it probably reflects on the employees that I'm privileged to represent. This year, J.D. Powers announced that we are number one in the nation in terms of customer service, and that every year J.D. Powers takes all the utilities over 200,000 customers, ranks them all. Last year, we were number two. We just got edged out by San Antonio a little bit. This time, our customer service scores were so high that we were definitely number one in the nation. It was a nice outgoing gift for the old CEO as he's leaving. The one thing we were never able to do was negotiate a modern franchise agreement with the city of Portland. And Commissioner Salzman and I have known each other for decades, actually. And I think we concluded that the audit gave us an opportunity to sit down and see if we could put a team on the field. Mary Beth Henry went through the team that we both fielded to see if we couldn't slog through. You operate for 150 years, there's a whole lot of legacy issues out there, federal safety standards, everything else you have to, but we wanted to slog through all of that, and I wanted to get a modern franchise agreement negotiated before I left office. That was a commitment I made to Commissioner Salzman. So it's with a certain sense of completion that I appear in front of you this morning. This is something I wanted to get done, and I very much appreciate your attention this morning and appreciate the recognition, Commissioner Salzman. Thank you.
Mayor May, please.
Excuse me. Well, yeah, don't go yet. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for a truly distinguished service in the public sector and the private sector in our state and in our city over the many years. And I know when we talked last year, you're going to be playing an active role on climate change issues, and I really, we all appreciate that. We know you're going to stay involved, but I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for your long tenure and for for being a good corporate citizen, too. I think Northwest Natural truly fits that definition.
So, thank you.
Thanks. I would just like to join my colleague in Mark, thanking you for your service. Since I am one of your customers, I will dispense with any comments about your role as the head of the company, although I do get great service. But I think an area where you deserve a lot of credit is the community service. I was not an elected official when you served as the head of the PBA, but I thought you were conspicuously successful in building bridges between the PBA and folks in the community. And I also know that every time you are asked, you or Greg, you step up and help. And most recently, Northwest Natural got behind our Homeless Connect program, which is a mentoring program connecting homeless families to churches. You made a leadership gift on that. So I want to thank you. And I know that while you're retiring from Northwest Natural, you're going to stay active in our community, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And Mr. Dawson, I also wanted to thank you. You were one of the first CEOs I met with, and I thought you were very gracious, and I really appreciate what you have done for our community, and I want to congratulate Greg. He's got a large pair of shoes to fill. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time this morning.
Well, I would... Not we'll work our way down. Absent from your list, and just to embrace and everything that's been said thus far is when you and I sat down soon after I was assigned the Bureau of Environmental Services, and we talked about the opportunity to fast track some cleanup pollution done long ago by some of your predecessor companies, and you, as fast as any, you have been the fastest to respond of any company that has potential liability in the harbor, and that's a standout, and I just wanted to thank you, add to the thanks the fact that you did that so fast, and you really do walk the green talk. It's very inspiring. And I look forward to working with you and Margaret and everyone on the team as well.
Thank you. We grew up here. We want to leave it clean. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Thanks to staff as well for your great work. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
I do appreciate all the good work. Thank you, and welcome to Mark coming on board. Aye.
Salzman?
Well, again, I want to thank our team, Mary Beth Henry, David Olson, Ben Walters.
Amy True in my office, but also the Northwest Natural team for making this happen and making this happen by the end of the year. So thank you very much. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Thank you, folks. Please read the 10 a.m. time certain.
Item 1685, establish the 82nd Avenue Prostitution Advisory Committee to provide oversight for the city's anti-prostitution efforts on 82nd Avenue and to advise the Police Bureau and City Council.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the Council. This resolution establishes a Citizens Advisory Committee charged with providing oversight and advice on the city's anti-prostitution efforts on and around 82nd Avenue. The city has begun implementing a comprehensive plan to address both the impacts of prostitution on the surrounding community and to provide services to address the impacts on the workers themselves. An important role of the 82nd Avenue Prostitution Advisory Committee will be to evaluate and to assess the social programs funded by the city geared toward prostitution and other related street crimes, again, occurring on and around 82nd Avenue. Residents, businesses, and neighborhood associations surrounding 82nd Avenue have been actively engaged in helping to deal with issues of prostitution and the city's anti-prostitution efforts. And the creation of this committee is born out of a desire to continue to engage these citizens and to grant their input as we continue to address the issues around prostitution surrounding 82nd Avenue. The committee will be comprised of citizens and business representatives, as well as city staff from both the Police Bureau and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Also involved will be the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. Additional staff from other city bureaus would also participate in the committee on an as-needed basis. So I'd now like to bring up Commander Michael Krebs of East Precinct and Brian Wong, who's part of the Montevilla Action Team, to talk about this a little further.
Okay. Well, good morning, Mayor and City Council. I'm Mike Krebs. I'm the Commander of East Precinct. And first, I'd like to thank the Council and the Mayor for all their support for the prostitution work we've been doing. I mean, it's been amazing to have. I've been with the Police Bureau now almost 17 years. I've never been more excited about something than seeing the support that I've been given to help improve livability along 82nd Avenue. So I truly appreciate that. I want to thank Commissioner Salzman for this resolution. I think it's going to be a real centerpiece, not only for 82nd Avenue to look over the prostitution problem there, but citywide. Hopefully, as Commissioner Adams had said last time, that if we start pushing it to other corridors such as Burnside or MLK, we got to pay attention to that because we're not in a vacuum. We have to be able to spread our wings and look even further. So I think by having neighborhood associations involved, if it starts to spread, we would then start inviting other neighborhood associations to be part of this because prostitution, I'm a commander of East Precinct, but I'm also have to see the big picture citywide. So I think this is a good step forward, and I wholly support it. I think it's going to be great. The citizens on the east side, particularly Montevilla and Madison South, well, all four of them, they want something done, and I'm glad this is happening. So thank you, and I ask that you vote yes on it. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm Brian. I've never been to City Council before, so I appreciate you having me here. I appreciate all of you guys helping out, Dan Saltzman's office for helping us form this resolution, and the resources that have been allocated to 82nd Avenue to help us address this issue. As a resident that lives just a block off 82nd, the impact has been tremendous, and we really, truly appreciate it. In fact, I'm part of the Montevilla Neighborhood Association, and we had a meeting this week, and the fact that came up that the presence of prostitution has certainly decreased was greatly appreciated, and I'm extending their appreciation to you. So, and I'm very excited about this advisory council being formed. I'm hoping that we can keep moving forward and also get resources allocated to these women to let them exit the prostitution, which I feel is the most important key, and also hopefully target the Johns and the pimps that compel these women to continue in this trade that I'm sure they don't want to be part of. Also, I would like to acknowledge that it's been a very busy summer. The Madison South put together, with Take Back 82nd, they put together a couple of town hall meetings, and also with the cooperation of Montevilla Neighborhood Association. And I did distribute a packet that is an executive summary of those two council meetings. And so I also, there's a lot of questions and suggestions in there. We'll be taking a look at that because it's going to take a large cooperative effort of all the neighborhood associations to tackle this problem, so we don't have displacement. So I encourage you guys to have a yes vote, and I appreciate your work thus far.
Okay, thanks. Questions from the commissioners? I really appreciate the work of the neighborhoods. I know we always have seen eye to eye, but I think we both have the same common goal, and that's to eliminate prostitution, both its source in terms of getting folks out of prostitution, but also ensuring that your neighborhood is safe and your children can use the streets freely. Thank you. Yeah,
and actually, I appreciate you coming to our the summer, coming out and addressing us, even though it was a very contentious effort. But people are very passionate and very upset, but I appreciate you being very gracious with us and helping us create this, and your office for helping us out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there other folks signed up to testify on this?
We have five people signed up.
Okay, please call forward.
The first three are Lila Lee, Emmy Koyama, and Chenis Remines.
Please come forward. Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
I'm Lila Lee. I'm the Executive Director for Portland's Council for Prostitution Alternatives, and I would like to thank the city for stepping up to the need these women have for services, and I really want to thank the whole Montevilla community. We've found them incredibly supportive, and they've had a wonderful understanding of the complex problem of prostitution, how we need to help the women in order to reduce the supply and give consequences to pimps and johns and reduce the demand element. I want to tell you about CPA. We provide a place where women can talk about their experiences in prostitution. I don't know how many women have told me that they've never really been able to talk to somebody about what it's been like to be in prostitution. Our clients, as a rule, share a lot of cofactors that got them into prostitution. Horrific, horrific childhoods, sexual and physical abuse, economic problems, homelessness, addiction. Most of these women are mothers. They're supporting other people. They do not wind up enriched from the sex trade. In fact, they tend to be conduits for the money that flows from the johns to the pimps. They have multiple problems medically, dentally, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. Most of the women I work with, and I've worked with 54 women, despite the fact that we do virtually no outreach and we're all word of mouth, tell me the same thing. I would love to get out of prostitution, but who is going to hire me? So again, I want to thank the city, I want to thank Montevilla, and I want to ask for increased support. This is a big problem. The need is great. Thank you.
Hi, Mayor Potter and members of the council. My name is Emmy Koyama. I am a member of, I live on the Southeast 78th Avenue, so I'm an area neighbor, and I'm also a member of an organization called 82nd Cares Coalition. We're a group of the area residents and our allies and friends and supporters who feel that while we appreciate all the attention that this issue is receiving and all the effort that our neighbors and the city and the police is putting into this issue, that it's focused overly on the law enforcement aspect of it and not enough on the economic and social conditions that result in the situation on 82nd Avenue, which I'm not talking about all prostitution in general is this way or that way, but what happens on 82nd Avenue is a reflection of poverty, it's a reflection of discrimination, it's a reflection of the lack of housing and treatment and all the different things. What we'd like to see happen is to have that at least given like as much attention as a law enforcement. And it's a beginning that the city funded some of the services, but it still has to go through the law enforcement, still have to be arrested. It's administered through the Commander Krebs and the whole process. And the proposed commission, for example, is calling for inclusion of the police representative and DA's representative, neighborhood association, business association. We also like to see people from the social service agencies, public health department, and those people who are actually addressing those like real life needs of the women who work on the 82nd. And I would also like to announce that our organization is opening a drop-in walking place that the Lighters organization has a once-a-week support group on the upper southeast close to Burnside. There's another organization that Catholic Church that provides meals once a week over there in that area. We're opening in the south end of the 82nd, so that near the Foster is where we are opening once a week, like a drop-in center. Our purpose is to, of course, to provide like meal and coffee and things like that, and the materials, the hygiene items, etc., but also to gather information from the women who are there, and to disseminate information that will be useful to them. So that's I just wanted to announce that, and I appreciate your focus on this issue.
I'm Cherise Remines. Good morning to the mayor and the council. I'm a student at Portland Community College, and I also live near 82nd, and I have had many friends that have worked as prostitutes. I feel that the problem in our community today is not the laws, is the lack of social awareness and the stigma that happens and takes place in our society. My fear that what will happen with the 82nd Prostitution Association Coalition is that they're not going to be properly trained to not buy into the stigma of society, therefore alienating these women from receiving proper services. I think that the coalition needs to have a more diverse group to really be effective. I think that it's not even ready time for a coalition like that. I get scared listening to the people that are going to be on the board. That doesn't make me feel safe. That doesn't make me feel like my friends will be safe. I feel like the needs that need to be addressed in our community is ones through welfare and the social agencies. Recently, welfare cut most of the fundings that have to do with women getting their GED, women going to college or furthering their education. In this day and time of our economic decline, I see it as perviness that we learn more information to help these women and more information to better offer social services to prevent this, instead of addressing it as a shame factor in our community. There's a big stigma behind prostitution, and most of the people don't understand the advanced and indecisive culture that goes into it because they are suffering from many isms themselves. I'm asking you as a committee to vote against the committee right now until it could be reworked and more people are able to speak about it. I'm asking this as a person that lives in poverty, that knows many of the women and is empathizing with their fear of what the coalition stands for right now. I think more outreach programs are needed. I think more help in our community is needed. I think more educational programs is needed. And I think that there needs to be some type of training that anyone that will be on a coalition like the 82nd Prostitution Association Coalition has to go through before they can even work on the coalition board. Thank you, and that's all I have to say. Hopefully you'll vote no.
Thank you. If I can maybe just respond to the thrust of your statement about no inclusion for other organizations like public health, social service, the committee representation spelled out here is sort of the minimum, you know, the neighborhoods, the police, the DA's office, Office of Neighborhood Involvement. It's by no means meant to be limiting, so that other people who have an interest can certainly join in on these meetings. And Commander Krebs is the co-chair of this oversight committee, and he would be the one to talk to. But it's by no means meant to limit others from participating. It's to spell out sort of the minimum composition of this committee.
I understand that, and I appreciate that it's just a minimum of the what's required. And yet, by listing those people in particular, it sets the characteristic of the committee that in a way that adversely affects who will be feel that they're comfortable enough to participate in the meeting. So I was just making that point about that.
It would be useful to specify that a sex industry survivor be a member, I think.
I would just like to make one more statement. I feel like inspired by Mayor Potter's human rights events. I think this is so pertinent to square one of human rights and the social needs in our community and not
the addressment are stereotypes of label as the products of that.
Thank you, folks. I also want to thank the Council for Prostitutional Attorneys. I've known Susan for many, many years and worked with her when I was the police chief, and I know that you folks have been out there on the line for many, many years, and really was an inspiration to me when I was in the police bureau, recognizing that there's more than one way to solve this problem, and there's a more humane way to solve the problem than just arresting people. So thank you, folks, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Dan, would you just consider it a friendly amendment to include representatives of the public health professionals and sex industry survivor advocacy group representative?
Sure. Yeah. Sounds good.
So it's been amended, unless there are objections.
Can I add one more thing? I think Outside In offers a training program to better understand if it's fully developed, but I do believe they offer some kind of a training to better understand the diversity and needs as women that worked in that. I think that it would be helpful if every member, if you do vote for the coalition, be informed or have to go through some kind of training to better understand the diversity and needs and not buy into the stigma of prostitution and the hate.
Thank you, folks. Thank you very much. Were there others?
Two more. Mark White and Don Rasmussen.
Thank you for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Short and sweet today. My name is Mark White. I'm the chair of the Palhurst-Gilbert Neighborhood Association. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to present testimony again. Palhurst-Gilbert Neighborhood Association's furthest western boundary is Southeast 82nd between Southeast Powell and Southeast Division. This part of our neighborhood, despite its comparatively small area, holds the majority of our commercial development. We're very concerned about anything that may jeopardize the robust commercial activity in the area. We're also equally concerned about the impact prostitution on Southeast 82nd has on the quality of life of our residents and the other residents who live in the vicinity. We applaud the council's efforts to create a collaborative effort to provide oversight to the issues surrounding prostitution. We look forward to participating in a vigorous community effort to maintain the viability and quality of life of our respective neighborhoods. Our newly created Public Safety Committee is poised and ready to participate, and we believe will be a strong collaborative effort. And Palhurst-Gilbert is proud to have the only officially sanctioned bike patrol in the city, and we believe that our contributions to the committee can be of equal caliber. So thank you again for your consideration, and we strongly endorse the establishment of this oversight committee.
Good morning. My name is Dawn Rasmussen. I'm president of the Save Northeast 82nd Avenue Coalition. Our main focus has been livability from the get-go on 82nd Avenue, and we would like to support the establishment of this committee. And just, I wanted to address the young lady's concerns about the purpose of this committee and just reiterate that as one of the people who, excuse me, spearheaded the conversations that took place earlier this fall at the Town Hall Forum, the main purpose of that was to start a conversation and not vilify anybody. And the main purpose of that whole conversation was to come together as a community and create positive solutions on a lot of different levels. And from what I've heard from feedback is that this approach was one of the most collaborative ones that brought in businesses and residents and city agencies and the police. So it really created a well-rounded approach. And as someone who compiled a lot of the feedback comments from the people that participated in that forum, I have to say the document that you have in your hands is a compilation of all those comments. And there are a lot of solutions that are not vilifying at all. They're very much understanding the human solution, the human issue here, and the social services. So I would just urge you to look at this document as a really good guide for this committee, and urge you to support this committee. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, folks. Was that the end of the folks who signed up?
It is.
Is anybody here who wishes to speak to this specific issue? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I appreciate the Commissioner Saltzman's willingness to include a friendly amendment that I think assuades and provides the recognition and respect that is absolutely intended by this. So I think manifesting that in the document is great, and I appreciate that. I also appreciate the Commander's acknowledgement of a conversation that we've had about making sure that we have a citywide monitoring of the areas that in the 17, 18 years I've been around here, we know when you squeeze the balloon on 82nd Avenue, it tends to pop out in other places around town. Sometimes they go to new areas. Sometimes the trade goes to new areas. But more often than not, it goes to some usual area. So keeping a monitoring on that citywide, I think, is really smart. And I'm really impressed with the neighborhood representative speaking to a complete solution. And I know you have from the very beginning. And I'm not sure if you've been involved with all the conversations, some of the other testimony, but that hasn't, this kind of, I've been through a number of these kinds of conversations over the years, and that has not always been part of the desire of the neighborhood. So I really want to commend you for looking for that complete solution that I know the mayor and Commissioner Saltzman and the police bureau are also passionate about, because rearresting the same people and them turning right back out, prostitution-free zones or not prostitution-free zones, it's a pyrrhic victory for about 15 minutes that they're in the booking station. So going after and really trying to see the, trying to address all the issues, I think, is the right way to go. And I commend you for the partnership you've put together. Aye.
Fish?
Well, I'm pleased to support this this next step. You know, before I got elected and just reading the newspaper and talking to my friends, I was led to believe that every one of these council meetings was a pitch battle between the council and neighborhoods and others. And I have to say, in the 5 or 6 months I've been here, what I've come to appreciate is that we have more meetings like this than the other. And it's because I think this is a group of people that are very responsive and very accessible and very committed to finding solutions in the neighborhoods. Maybe this has been an evolutionary process, but I've been very impressed. And this is yet another example of what I think has been good communication and good collaboration, and frankly, what I've come to expect from Commander Reese, who I think does a – excuse me, Krebs and Commander Reese.
That's okay.
Good. You were separated at birth, Commander Krebs. But the one thing I do want to just underscore is that when you and I talked about this issue – we talked a little bit about the prevalence of underage girls who have been brought into prostitution. And you said that there was an active recruitment process going in at our schools, and that, in fact, these lowlifes would go to schools and look for signs of low self-esteem among young girls who are in our community. Now, what consenting adults choose to do, whether it's legal or illegal, I think we would all agree, is of a different magnitude of order when you're talking about children, because teenage girls cannot consent to this behavior. And it is, to me, the most deplorable part of this story that there are younger kids engaged in this street trafficking. So I would just make a special plea that as we think about how we can protect our children in the schools, that we engage the broader community, because I assume the recruitment goes on not just in any particular area but throughout the city. But I think that is the ugliest aspect of what we are here to address. And we'll look forward to suggestions about how we can preemptively make sure that the young kids who go to our public schools are safe. And it has a particular urgency to me as the father of a teenage daughter who goes to public school. And the idea of some pimp, you know, recruiting at any of our schools is just abhorrent. So thank you all for your good work on this. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
When I arrived on the council a little over 6 years ago, the discussions we had around this subject were exclusively about extending prostitution and drug-free zones. And every time they came up for renewal, they passed. And every time they came up for renewal, I voted against them. I started out voting by myself. We progressed from that level of discussion in how to deal with prostitution and how to deal with drug addictions and drug sales to a much more thoughtful place. The reason for my opposition to prostitution in drug-free zones, which I've stated often, includes civil rights concerns, but also, just as importantly, operational concerns. It just didn't make sense to me to tell an individual who was dealing drugs or using drugs or being a prostitute, you can't be in this neighborhood. And that by themselves would stop them from dealing drugs, using drugs, or being a prostitute. They had to show up somewhere else, and they did. And those arguments fell on deaf ears, frankly, until Tom Potter became mayor. And almost immediately upon his arrival here, I slipped. One of the first things he looked at and read after he was mayor was a resolution asking him to join with me to set some conditions on participating in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. He readily signed it. Immediately after his arrival, he and I began talking about the prostitution drug-free zones. He absolutely had the same concerns I did and has been consistent in that approach since we've been here. And if I had not said this publicly before, I want to acknowledge that and how grateful I've been for his human approach to these problems that others characterize as bad people or people who are doing harm to neighborhoods. Yes, that's true, but if you just take it to another level, you have to understand that there are a lot of good people that are stuck in those places. And frankly, and unfortunately, until recently, the police bureau has not evolved to that place until Commander Krebs and others at the police bureau embraced the approach of providing services and not just sticking people in jail and not just kicking people out of neighborhoods. And what I want the council and everybody to recognize is just to take two or three steps back from this particular issue that we're talking about and recognize how different it is in the city of Portland, Oregon, to have a city council and a police force who is now beginning to understand the efficiency of not just arresting people and not just kicking people out of neighborhoods, but offer them services, and in some ways often nudging them to accept those services and then turning their lives around. And I won't bore you all with the statistics other than to say that we've seen a dramatic drop in crime in downtown Portland with this approach. We've seen a dramatic drop in people who are addicted to drugs, completely dropping out of the criminal justice system, finding lives, finding homes, and finding a better way. So I'm not only pleased to support this resolution, but it's also really important to understand what it's taken in the last 6 years to get to the place that we're having this discussion and we're having a resolution like this. And we have guys like Mike Krebs, who has just been a phenomenal advocate out in East Portland for the neighborhoods, and my hat's off to you. I just can't say enough about Mike. And it's easy to confuse you with Mike Reese, by the way, because you both have the same kind of approach. You're both problem solvers. You're not like throw them in jail and throw away the key. And people need to understand that approach and appreciate it for what it is. And I'm just going to use this opportunity to tell you, I do understand it. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I've probably spent more time out with East Precinct officers in the last few months than anybody else on the council, riding with them on 82nd, talking to you, talking to your lieutenants, talking to your officers, and I just couldn't be more impressed. I mean, I was convinced all we had to do was give you the tools you needed to make this happen, and you whispered in my ear once, if you give me the stuff I need, Randy, in 30 days I'll get it done, and I think you beat that timeline. And I want to acknowledge that and tell you how much I appreciate the work you've done, and Commissioner Saltzman is taking the right approach here, and I completely support what he's doing. So thank you, Mayor Potter. Thank you, Council. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank Mayor Potter and Commissioner Leonard for their leadership on taking action about the proliferation of prostitution on 82nd, but also recognizing the need for a balanced approach to be able to have services as well. And I want to thank Commander Krebs and others of East Precinct and Southeast Precinct who have taken the directions from the Mayor and Commissioner Leonard and really put into place things that are making a difference. The purpose of this oversight committee is to continue to engage with the police and other people and service providers to make sure that we are continuing to take a holistic approach to this, but also that the issue doesn't get lost off the radar. And that's what this oversight committee is about. And I want to thank Shannon Callahan in my office for her work on this, and I think this will be a very good committee. With the amendment by Commissioner Adams, even better. Please to vote aye.
Potter.
Well, I want to thank all the folks who came in and testified today. I thought it was excellent testimony and things worthy of consideration. I really think this is a great idea. I'm glad that the incoming police commissioner has brought this forward, because this is so important to have the community engaged in this process. I think if there's any lessons to learn from that, is the sooner we engage the community,